Okay, so let's do some movement now into the last section on language, almost the last section, which is the meta model. The meta model, which is our second major language pattern in NLP. And the meta model, again, was Bandler and Grinder modeling Virginia Satir. See, Virginia Satir, she was the first person they modeled, by the way, before they did Erikson. She had this knack of being able to get to the root cause of whatever a problem was in a family, because she was a family therapist. And what they did was they modeled her and found out what it was that she was doing, and they were able to get the same results themselves when they produced the same strategy. So what we know is, and we've talked about this already, but when the words that we utter out of our mouths have within them deletions, distortions, and generalizations. So the words that actually come out of our mouths are what we would describe as the surface structure. And the surface structure always, always, always has deletions, distortions, and generalizations in it. So what happens is, us as the listener to that language, as the native speaker of, let's say, English, for example, because what we're working in, as a native speaker of English, what you do is you go inside and you make up what's missing. So you make up the deletions, the distortions, generalizations missing. So you go inside your own model of the world, go to your own references, and fill in the gaps. Which is why there's so much miscommunication goes on, because people aren't really communicating what it is that's really going on for them. And then someone comes back with their own version of what they thought they said, which is entirely not what the person meant in the first place. So what this enables us to do in business, in coaching, and in therapy, it allows us to recover the true meaning of the deep structure that really was generated this pattern in the first place. And as a manager, coach, or therapist, you always want to be working with the deep structure. You don't want to work with the surface structure. So think about sales as an example. In sales, if you don't get the sale, you get what? Objections, don't you? Oftentimes you'll get objections. But objections are oftentimes surface structure. They're not the real objection. So if you then keep handling the surface structure, you still don't make the sale. Because you want to find out what's really going on in the deep structure to find out what the real challenge is. Because the thing is, I don't know if you know this, if you noticed it yourself, but even in things like FYD, for example, if someone stands up and shares, for example, something, then oftentimes what they think is the challenge is not the challenge at all. People think they know what the challenge is and they utter it out of their mouth, but that's often not the real problem. So if you then start working with what we call the presenting problem, what they come in with, if you work with the presenting problem, you will get a result, but it won't last and it won't be the sort of wide-ranging result that you really want. Because if you think about presenting problems down here, call it presenting problem. What we want to do is we want to chunk up a level, or chunk into more, not up really here, but this should be down if you like, but chunk into more specificity to find out maybe these two things represent all these problems. And maybe underneath it all, there's this one thing that has the whole thing hang together. Which is the real problem here. Which is great, because if you handle this problem, what the real problem is, you get to handle all these presenting problems at the same time rather than just working on this one, say, down here that they come in with. Does that make sense? So we've got to recover what's really going on at the deep structure. And that's just as valid in business as it is in therapy, because in business you want to find out what are the real sticking points in the business, what are the real things, the real problems in the business, as opposed to what people are telling you are the problems, where maybe it goes beyond that. So we want to uncover the real challenges. So let's have a look now at the meta model and how it works. I've got a little slide here to have you understand that. So the deep structure generates the surface structure. So the deep structure is hidden deep within the person's unconscious mind. They don't even know what the deep structure is. They don't know. But they utter something and it comes out as the surface structure and is full of deletions, distortions, and generalizations. It would have to be, or the sentence would be so long and would not make sense in English. Because every sentence that makes sense in English that you're used to has deletions, distortions, generalizations in it. So it wouldn't make sense. But we've got to uncover what it really is going on. So imagine this, for example. So let's say someone starts, the deep structure has a very specific thought, specific problem. And then what happens is we generalize. So it's no longer a specific thought, it's thoughts. Because it's a generalization. So we've gone from specific thought to thoughts. And we put it through the filter of distortion, and the thought ends up coming out like that. And then it goes through a deletion process, and we come out with ugh. And that's what people utter out of their mouths, ugh. As in, what they're saying is not really the real thing. And obviously this is a little play on words. This is not realistically what really is happening. But it gives you some idea that we start off with the real problem, we put it through all these filters, and it comes out at nothing like the real problem. I mean, what's the relationship of ugh to specific thought? There's no relationship whatsoever, it would seem. So the meta model works the magic, because what it does is it enables us to really uncover what's happening at the deep structure. So we know the meta model is divided up again into these categories. First one again, mind reading. Now you'll notice there's a correlation here between meta model and Milton model. Of course there is. Because one goes this way and one goes that way. So whenever someone generates a Milton model pattern, they're doing it, they don't realize they're good at hypnosis, but they're delivering these Milton model patterns all the time. You've done it all the time, haven't you? So you say something like, she doesn't like me. You've heard people say that, haven't you? You may have said it yourself. She doesn't like me. That's a mind read, isn't it? So the question is, what question can we ask that will bust the mind read, that will break it open and get us more information and take us down into more deep structure? So they say, okay, she doesn't like me. And then you say, okay, great. So how do you know she doesn't like you? What's that going to do? It's going to recover more information, isn't it? It's going to recover more of the deep structure, what's underneath that statement. Recovers the source of the information. So if somebody comes out with a lost performative, it's bad to be dishonest. You say, who says it's bad? Who specifically? According to whom? How do you know it's bad? So there's a series of questions that go with every type of meta model. So we call these ones we're reading down the side, we call meta model violations. That's what they're called in NLP, meta model violations. And the questions that you ask are called meta model challenges. Is where you challenge the meta model violation. That's my reading of lost performative. So if you hear a lost performative, someone saying it's bad to be dishonest, where they're making a value judgment and leaving the judge out, you say, who says? According to whom? How do you know it's bad? If it's a cause and effect, he makes me sad, John makes me sad, whatever it might be, you say, okay, good. So how does what he's doing cause you to choose to feel mad? Now that's not a very English word sort of statement to make, but what it does is, what does it do? It puts them back where? Puts them back at cause, doesn't it? Because at the moment what he's saying, the cause is outside of him. So a cause and effect violation is where you put cause, the statement is putting cause outside of self, okay? And what your question is to do is put cause back inside of self, turn it back into a process. So if we get complex equivalent, something like, she's always yelling at me, she doesn't like me. So one thing equals the other. We would say, how does her yelling at you mean she doesn't like you? Or counterexample, have you ever yelled at someone you liked? They say, well, yeah. And you go like, well, how do you know she doesn't like you then? Bus open that particular violation. With a presupposition, again, these words, you'll notice, with the because what we're doing at the moment, we're dealing with all the distortion versions of the meta model, yes? These are all distortions. And you always want to be working with distortions first. So every sentence will have deletions, distortions, and generalizations in it, but don't start with the deletions. Because if you do, you'll be there forever. Because deletions are in every sentence. The ones that have the most power are the distortions, okay? There's a model that's in Tony Robbins' book called The Precision Model, if you've read it, the Unlimited Power book, which is the one on the fingers. Have you seen that? Where you have like the different things on the fingers, different metamodal violations, different demetabolic responses on this hand, they come together, if you like. So if it's this thing, you match it with this, whatever you link up on this finger. But their precision model has it round, has the meta model round the wrong way. As in, it has you tackle deletions first. It doesn't work that way because you're there for, you'll be there forever. This is the correct way of doing it. So you tackle distortions first, then generalizations, then deletions. So with a presupposition, as in the sentence, my husband knew how much I suffered, or if my husband knew how much I suffered, he wouldn't do that. So the presuppositions there are, I suffer. My husband acts in some way. My husband doesn't know how I suffer. Doesn't know I suffer. So to tackle those, we would say, how do you choose to suffer? Husband reacting some way, how is he reacting? Because it's not clear, is it? If my husband knew how much I suffered, he wouldn't do that. But we don't know what he's doing, do we? Yeah. How do you know he doesn't know? Well, that's a mind read, isn't it, really? So it's there, we want to bust open those precepts. Now, here's an easy thing to remember. A very easy way for you to remember how to tackle distortions. Nearly all of them begin with the word how. If you start the sentence with how, you're probably going to find the right answer. How do you know? How do you know he doesn't like you? How do you know it's bad? How does what he's doing cause you to choose to suffer? How does yelling her mean she? How have you ever yelled at someone you didn't like? How do you choose? So it's mostly how with all those distortions, with a few variations. So that's distortions. Turning over the page, we tackle generalizations, of which there are only two. Universal quantifiers. So the statement, he never talks to me. And you could either do one of two things. You could go, never, with that tone of voice, never. And they go, well, not all the time. Maybe just when blah, blah, blah happens. Great, you've got some new information. Now, when you get new information, when the client then utters a new statement out, what's it going to have in it? More deletions, more distortions, generalizations. So you can then take that sentence and again put it through the meta model and come up with another meta model question, and they'll come up with something else and something else and something else, and you'll be getting more and more specificity, more and more specificity, and finally you get down to like, oh, this is the problem. That's how it works. Okay? So with the universal quantifiers, he never doesn't talk to me, you can either do never, or counterexample, what would happen if he did? And then modal operators. So modal operators of necessity or modal operators of possibility. So necessity would be, I have to work hard. Have to. What would happen if you didn't? Because that recovers what the have to is about. That make sense? Or modal operators of possibility, I can't stop smoking. So there's a modal operator of impossibility, because I can't, so possibility or impossibility. So what prevents you? I can't, what prevents that? So what prevents you from stopping smoking? Recovers the real problem, or at least a closer answer to what the real problem is. So again, if we now look at all the generalization challenges, they all begin with the word what. So if you hear a generalization, you ask what. Other than, you can, if it's a universal quantifier, you can repeat the word back. Never. Always. No one. Every time. Now, I say this with some caveat before we do deletions, because it just came up for me there. And that is, when you're doing the meta model, there's one thing that's really, really important. What is it? Rapport. Because this is the structure of nitpicking. When you go into more detail, it can be seen as nitpicking. So you must use strong rapport techniques when you're doing this. So finally, you'll be tackling deletions. So any nominalizations that happen, what you're going to do is you're simply going to denominalize the nominalization. So we have a problem with our communication. So communication is the nominalization of the word communicating. So who's communicating, or who's not communicating, perhaps, to whom? Or how would you like to be communicating? What that does is, see, we have a problem with our communication. It's like it's flat. It's like it's a thing that can't be done anything about, i.e. it's not my responsibility. It's this thing, communication, as opposed to how are you communicating, puts them back at cause and turns it into a process which is ongoing and active. So what we're doing is turning it back into a process. Unspecified verb, so i.e. we don't know, there's no extra information about the verb. So the verb here is he rejected me. So the verb is rejecting. We don't know how though. So how specifically did he reject you? And the information we might come out, you run it in your neurology and go, well, I wouldn't feel rejected if that happened. That could be any number of other reasons why that behavior could have happened. So again, you're getting down to more specificity, getting to real reason what's really going on for this person. And finally, comparative deletions, that's expensive. That's a great one for sales. Whenever you're doing sales, those people in sales will know that. You know, that's the price. You go, ooh, that's expensive. And you go like, oh, really? Compared to what? Person goes, chocolate. I don't know. They don't know. They're not comparing it. They may not be comparing it. Maybe just comparing it with the fact that it's too expensive. Compared to what? Compared to leaves? Compared to how much money I'm holding in my pocket? Compared to how much other people have quoted? You don't know, because it's a deletion. There's something that he's comparing to is not there. It's been deleted out of the sentence. So it uncovers more information that we can utilize to really work with. Okay? Meta models, really, really simple to use. And massively effective.